Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to thefadestorewithdnz.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO?
It's the Fade. It's the Fade Route with DNZ.
We ain't afraid. No, we not.
We ain't afraid. We are the Fade Route with DNZ. We got a great show for you tonight. The Jets have a sloppy training camp. Tatum logs a DNP in the Olympics, and Garrett Crochet stands up for himself. We'll begin today's show with baseball trade deadline, was in major effect today. Bunch of teams dumping players. A lot of teams trying to get better. The Yankees got a third baseman, possibly. The Braves are chasing old MVPs. And the Astros bolstered their rotation. But Z, which team made the biggest move at the trade deadline for you?
Well, it's more about what wasn't done for me. You know, last week we highlighted specific players. We looked at Tarik Skubal, did not get moved.
Yeah.
We looked at Garrett Crochet, did not get moved. We highlighted Cody Bellinger, did not get moved, just activated off the IL. Now, you can trade guys on the IL. The Pirates and Blue Jays, they swung a trade. IKF, like they got him. They got him packed up and ready to go to Pittsburgh. So what I find interesting is the level of prospect being dealt for some mediocre-ass arms. So you're looking at, just for example, the Baltimore Orioles, like they acquired Trevor Rogers, like nothing to write home about, right? If he was any, you know, if he was any good, like maybe the Marlins wouldn't have been as shitty as they were. The Marlins sold off anything that wasn't nailed down. Shocker.
Gotta love that team. They just know how to do it, man.
They know how to do something. They're doing something. I just don't know what yet. They brought in Connor Norby. They got Kyle Stowers. These guys were top level prospects. They did crack the major league roster. The Baltimore Orioles were in a weird position, is that they're dealing from a position of strength. Now they sucked for so many years. And they acquired so many quality players that there's a logjam, right? That's why they're able to go out. That's why they were linked to Skubal. That's why they were linked to Crochet. Like, they could have given up Jackson Holliday. They could have given up Heston Kjerstad. They could have given up, they gave up Norby. They gave up Stowers. And they still have guys. I'm confused as to why they got Eloy Jimenez, though. They went and got Eloy Jimenez from the White Sox. If you were going to get him, I don't know if you trade Norby and Stowers. Like, I think the two of them are better than him in the aggregate. Now, you don't get Trevor Rogers, but he's pitching to like a 4 ERA. You're telling me they couldn't get another guy who's pitching to it? They couldn't get Paul Blackburn, who's pitching to around a 4 ERA, right? You couldn't get a Frankie Montas, right? The Brewers got him from the Reds.
Yeah, he went to the Brewers. So that was
yeah, so you couldn't get Kikuchi? Kikuchi wasn't that good. Kikuchi got
Astros, right?
Yeah, they got three prospects for Yusuke Kikuchi.
I didn't understand that trade because
it's an overpay, dude.
Well, not only it's an overpay, but I don't really think he's that good. He gives up home runs, and I don't think he even has a good record in that ballpark. I don't know what they were thinking there.
Obviously, Taylor's thinking
they put a lefty. I guess I don't know.
They just need warm bodies. You know,
like yeah, they've logged... they need somebody to pitch. They've actually been on quite a run. I think they're the second hottest team in baseball, the Astros, yeah. As far as like, you know, how well they've done the last couple of games.
Well, they caught the Mariners. They passed the Mariners. And what did I say a few weeks ago? That the Astros are not dead. You got to be careful because the Astros are not dead. And I don't know necessarily that he got better. I don't know that they got better because I really don't know what Kikuchi's going to bring. He's going to bring a guy who eats innings.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he's on my fantasy team, and he's okay.
Yeah,
he's okay. He gives up the long ball. He gives up home runs.
And you're putting him in Minute Maid Park.
He's got like a 4.75 ERA. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's not Jack Flaherty, where at least, you know, he's got electric stuff. You know,
right?
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But the Orioles are intriguing because they revamped their bullpen. They got Sir Anthony Dominguez. They pretty much just got guys from the Phillies bullpen. They went and got Dominguez, and they got Gregory Soto.
Interesting that the Phillies think that their bullpen is that good.
Yeah, I mean, they got Austin Hayes for Dominguez and Pache, and then they... Yeah, I don't know what they're dealing for. Well, they did revamp it with Carlos Estevez. So they're bringing in a guy who was closing for the Angels. Now, granted, he was closing for the Angels, right? He hasn't gotten a lot of practice. Like Tanner Scott. Like Tanner Scott only has 18 saves this year. Like, I mean, from a player standpoint, right? If you're just talking about volume, if this was like Sam's Club, then the Miami Marlins won the trade deadline. But it's like, again, you got prospects. Do you have players? You don't know. You acquired a bunch of question marks. And you distributed your known quantities. And your known quantities weren't that great to begin with. So I find that very interesting. The Yankees got Jazz Chisholm. Didn't give up a lot in terms of quality prospects. They gave up mid-20 level prospects.
He's playing well.
He is making immediate dividends, but he also, like, it's caused a little bit of friction because Gleyber Torres is now defending himself. So he didn't get traded number one. He's saying, I'm a second baseman.
I'm a second baseman. Me. Bitches.
I'm a second baseman.
Should have finished that sentence. Me. He should have finished that sentence with bitches. You ain't trading me anywhere. I'm a second baseman. I don't play anything in second base. And I play here for the Yankees. I ain't playing anywhere else.
That's right.
Go tell Cashman that shit. No, but the thing with the only thing with Jazzy, and he's off to a nice start. But yeah. Let's be real. He's a career 246 hitter. I mean,
with a 30% strikeout rate.
That's what he is. I mean, he's going to come down to earth.
Completely.
Don't get it twisted.
Absolutely not. But the other thing you have to be concerned about Jazz Chisholm is that you are now taking him and putting him in the short porch in Yankee Stadium. Is he now going to get homer happy, and that's going to balloon even more? So that's a question that's going to play itself out. But then, I mean, you're looking, a lot of guys got moved, and like surprisingly, the Cardinals are still in it. They traded for Eric Fetty. They got Tommy Pham. They revamped their team. I don't know what the Cubs are doing. They got Isak Paredes from the Rays.
He's great. I like that guy. He's not having that great of a year, but I like him.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what the hell they're doing, considering that they're dead ass last. So, like, are you revamped for the future, I suppose, but you're not in it. You're not in it at all. And
you're just trying to say they should have been big time sellers.
I think they should have dealt off some, like Tyone. You could have got something for Tyone. You could have got something 100%. For Bellinger. Seiya Suzuki. There were rumors. There was smoke. Nothing ever happened. Nothing came of that. But
right. They are in last. I guess they're trying to make a run. They're 11 games out.
Yeah, but you know the wild card is attainable.
And the fucking Pirates, man.
Yes, but the wild card is attainable, and that's why that's what I was talking about with you weeks ago. Like, guys are going to hang on to their players unless they're totally out of it. And the Rays are confusing too, because the Rays aren't that far out of it either. The Tigers, they gave up Jack Flaherty. They're not that far out of it. They traded Andrew Chafin. They're not that far out of it. So you know, I found it was very interesting. The moves that were made, the moves that weren't made, And let's address the two local teams. We are a New York sports show. Yes, the Yankees got Jazz Chisholm. Yes, the Yankees got Mark Leiter Jr. Yes, the Yankees got Eniel De Los Santos. Yes, they jettisoned Caleb Ferguson, who's not very good. They did not get better. They did not get appreciably better. They could have used another starter. They could have used getting rid of Nestor Cortez. They could have, well, now that this Jazz Chisholm thing is happening, they sure as hell should have tried. If they didn't try, that's a malpractice. Trying to find a home for Glaber. But, you know, I gotta say, that's a swing and a miss for a team that's trying to pick up, you know, keep ground with the Orioles, who are making moves. So, I mean, if I'm given a letter grade, I probably gotta give a C+. Not
to
great.
To who?
I gotta give C+ to the Yankees.
To the Yankees, okay.
Chisholm is good. I don't know about the rest of it. Like, Mark Leiter Jr. strikes out a lot of guys, so, like, that could be something for them. The Mets, I gotta give a B-. Like, they're kind of, like, in around the same area. The Mets were tasked with a very difficult task. They had to revamp their whole fucking bullpen on the fly. And they did that. So, we're gonna see how that pans out. I wonder if any of these moves correspond with Adam Ottavino being given his walking papers. Like, we'll see about that. Diekman is gone. They finally, you know, got Diekman the hell out of Dodge. They're expecting Nunez back. They're keeping Buddo in there. So they have lengthened their bullpen. The bullpen is now a strength of the team. We'll see, you know, what happens going forward. Stanek got rocked in his first game as a Met. You figure he's going to settle down. He's a pro. You know, they got Huascar. They got a pitcher from the Marlins. I forget his last name. Brazoban. Huascar Brazoban. Huge question mark because he pitched for the Marlins. Career year for the Marlins. It's, you know, that's what concerns me about teams acquiring players from the Marlins and the White Sox. There was absolutely zero pressure to perform because they were so bad. Like, the lights are on bright. What are you going to get? So I'm saying in C+ for the Yankees, B- for the Mets. But I'm more bullish on the Mets because that was a difficult task, and Stearns definitely made it happen. He also strengthened the bench. DJ Stewart is gone. Jesse Winker is in. So all in all, I got to say, like, in terms of quality or like star level of player, the Yankees got the bigger star. The Mets, I think, did a better job in getting and filling the holes of their team.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll let you play the game with the New York teams. I didn't think they did anything really worth talking about. I like the Leiter thing. I mean, like you said, I know you believe in the Mets, and I really just think they should have been sellers. I don't really believe in anything they've done is going to really change their positioning. I think the Phillies are just really good. I think the Braves, I mean, they go and bring Soler back. And they go bring back, I think, Luke Jackson. It's just like, what the fuck, man? Like,
they already brought back Eddie Rosario. They already brought back guys from that team.
And everybody's loving this, saying, oh, well, they needed a bat. It's just like, his bat, though? That's the bat? I really like what the Guardians did. I like them getting Lane Thomas. I think he was the best player on the Nationals. They went and got him for 3 prospects. I respect that move. The Mariners giving it a shot, you know, going to Rosarena, going with Justin Turner, guys that have been to World Series, trying to make something. The Astros move, I'm curious about it. Like I said, I don't really get it. Maybe, but then again, remember when the Astros went and got Justin Turner and they brought him in, they were like, okay, stop throwing your two-seam fastball because you don't have a two-seam fastball. And he's like, what? And they made him look at the video, and he's like, wow, I really don't. And it helped him be a better pitcher. So maybe they're going to do something similar with Kikuchi. Maybe they see something in him that's flawed, and they're like, okay, if we make this tweak with him, he can help us.
Don't throw your curveball. I hate your curveball. You want to watch it? The damn thing don't curve.
Stop throwing the show slow shit. They're hammering it.
I'll throw it. Make sure you catch it.
The Dodgers, how could you not like what them going to get Flaherty? Just, I know he's not what he used to be. Like, he's not what he was like 4 or 5 years ago. But he's going to be in a room with, like, Kershaw. He's going to be in a room with Bueller. He's going to be in a room with guys that can pitch. And I'm sure that they can get him to be efficient. And all these guys are supposed to be coming back now. Kershaw just came off the IL. I think Bueller's next. They're gonna be a problem. I think that's the interesting thing to me. I'm curious to know if the Yankees called about Jack Flaherty, because the Yankees could have used another starting pitcher.
Yeah, sure.
The idea that it might work out, but the idea that someone inside the Yankees, like, war room was like, let's call the Marlins about Jazzy Chisholm. I think he could play third base. And with somebody like snapping their fingers, like, you're right. Let's get him here. You know, like, is that what the call? Was that really the move that was made? And it's not a knock on him. I think he's a fine baseball player, but it's the hot corner, man. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, you really got to know what you're doing. I like the moves that the Brewers made. I like Frankie Montas, who's having a decent year. That's where I'm standing. And even the Red Sox going to get Lucas Sims from the Reds. You thought that was a move to bolster their bullpen. Like, just interesting day all around. A lot of action. A lot of teams that think they're still in it, that they're really not in it. I don't believe in the Orioles getting Eloy Jimenez. Like, what the fuck?
That makes no sense to me.
This guy's, like, worried about running down the line to first base. It's like, dude, stop hitting ground balls. You don't have to worry about running down the line. You're like 6'3", like 260. Hit the ball out of the park, man. But, you know, I guess this is what baseball wanted. They want everybody thinking they're still in it. I don't think so.
And they are. You know what? Everybody that we mentioned today, with the exception of the Marlins, is relatively close to the wild card. Right? Even the Rangers, they subtracted, but then they also went and got Andrew Chafin. So they're selectively in. So it's one of those things that Rob Manfred, in his infinite wisdom, has decided that this is going to, you know, be intriguing instead of the July 31st trade deadline. You leave the waiver deadline, and then as teams get out of it, they can kind of move players onto waivers. Well, did you see what happened with Josh Bell, another Marlin? He got picked up by the Diamondbacks, but they were first put on outright waivers. So that was very much in the old school vein of how things used to be done. The Arizona Diamondbacks got him for cash, dude. It's like, here's a dollar, I'll take Josh Bell. So Josh Bell in Arizona plays.
The White Sox were unable to move starter Garrett Crochet, mostly because his camp leaked that he would want a contract extension if he was sent to a contender and asked to pitch in October. White Sox GM Chris Getz was disappointed in the message from Crochet's camp. Were you?
Absolutely. 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 You deserve to stay in Chicago now. Have fun with that. Absolutely. 25 years old. This is the most you've ever done in the major leagues. Yeah. And I get injury. I understand injury. Yeah, this is the most you've done. The dude can get hurt next week. Like, he has gone above and beyond by a lot. His inning total for his career, I think, was 70-something innings. He's already pitched 114.
Yeah.
So there you go. Like, you can blow out your arm tomorrow, Chief, and I'm on the hook for that? Abso-friggin-lutely not. You're not going to hold me over a barrel. I'm not going to give up 4, 5, 6 prospects to get you.
And then extend you?
And then extend you. Like, no, that's not... Especially when I can negotiate this in the offseason. Like, this is... Now, you add that little extra wrinkle there, I'm not doing it. Absolutely not. No, screw off. And you enjoy mediocrity on the South side. Definitely. Now, like, you look at him, you compare him to Tarik Skubal. Skubal has had a history of arm problems, too. So, they were both risky. Crochet is risky from a mindset. Like, I hear something like that, I don't want to hear that.
Right, well, that's the whole thing, Z. Is like, maybe he's also, like, listening to his body. And maybe he's pitched so much this year that he's like, man, I can't pitch more unless I know that I'm going to be staying where I'm going. So maybe we should be giving him a little bit more credit for listening to his body and understanding what he is, right? He's not trying to just next year or this, he's not trying to this year, like, win a championship and then be done with baseball. He's like, no, man, if I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to give it my all, I want to make sure that I'm going to be there for a while. I applaud the guy. I'm not mad at him because he's listening to his body and he knows what's going on. And he's like, fuck you guys. You guys aren't going to just dump me to wherever you want to send me. And then I'm just going to pitch as a gun for hire. I'm not a gun for hire.
He's not a gun for hire because he has 2 years left on his contract. You honor the terms of your contract.
But what he's trying to say is like, I'm not going to go. I'm overextending myself now. I'm not going to go somewhere else and overextend myself past the regular season if there's nothing in it in the future. Like, I got to get, I need my extension now because I don't know how much longer my arm's going to hold up. And if that's a cautionary tale for the Orioles, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, then so be it. But I think he's just listening to his body. I think he's knowing what he is. Like, I don't think you can get mad at the guy for that.
Sure you can. We did it last week.
Look at who was the guy? Matt Harvey? Didn't something similar happen with your boy Matt Harvey? The Dark Knight?
He had a UCL tear. He came back from Tommy John surgery. He pushed it. And he was never the same. Because he also developed thoracic outlet syndrome. So
and also became an asshole.
Well, he was always an asshole, though. Like, he was always an asshole.
But disorder.
He developed the yayo problem. So that was the issue. He said they said you're the next Doc Good, and he's like, okay.
The next Tony Montana.
Oh my god. But you know what? That was a perfect storm of events. So, and even so, Matt Harvey was still dealing at that point. He chose to pitch through the UCL tear instead of getting the Tommy John. Eventually it went, and then he needed to have the Tommy John again. That's the risk you take. Like Masahiro Tanaka, it never tore. It was the exact same injury. He pitched through it. He was fine.
How about that dude just pitching for the Yankees? And once they didn't want him anymore, he's like, all right, I'm done with baseball.
I'm going back to Japan. I'm going to go back to my old team.
And I'm done. This was fun. Thanks for all the money, guys.
Yeah, I only want to pitch for the New York Yankees. Like, that's, you know, good for you. And you know who could fucking need him right now? The New York Yankees. That's the funny thing of all of this. They could use
he's
Tanaka.
He had trouble keeping the ball down, though. He just... I don't remember in the history of baseball a sinker ball pitcher that had so much trouble keeping the fucking ball down. Gosh damn it, keep the ball down.
Well, he has, yeah, that was definitely, he definitely had a loop in his slider. That's for damn sure. His split, unhittable. That was a good split finger fastball. But, like, Garrett Crochet has done jack in this league. Like, that's the thing that we need to remember here. You don't have the luxury of dictating terms like that. If you're going to withhold your services, everybody sees that. Everybody sees that. And the fact that you're not willing to pitch for a contender, the fact that you're not willing to pitch and extend yourself for winning, what's the ultimate goal of the game? Is it to make the most money or is it to win?
Most people would say to win.
It's to win. No, they don't put the salaries on the scoreboard. They put the score. So you play to win. The money will come. Wise man once said, that's what the money is for. You get your flowers after you fucking do something.
Thank you. That's what the money's for.
Right. Don Draper is absolutely fucking right. You'll get your flowers. You will absolutely get your flowers. And guess what? If your body betrays you, you can go back in that bullpen and you can make yourself even more money. I got two words for you, son. John Smoltz. John Smoltz, his body betrayed him for years. He went into the bullpen and became a fucking lights out closer. If you're that good, or if you're as good as you think you are, you will go and you'll become better. You will figure it out. Coach Westhoff, shout out to you. You will figure it the fuck out. So
maybe there's just a part of him that likes the south side of Chicago. Maybe that's
something.
You ever think of that?
It's possible. Did you see what happened when Michael Kopech got traded? The Chicago bullpen stood in a circle, cracked open a C4, and then like passed it around and then poured one out for Michael Kopech. Dude upgraded. You don't pour one out for him. He upgraded. He's on the friggin' Dodgers now. So Yeah, that's it. That was a good move.
That's one, two, zip.
Woo!
That's
a
one. Woo-hoo!
Woo!
Ow, ow!
Love it. Absolutely love it. Let's check the Philly score while we're at it. It's currently end of the eighth inning. Yankees 5, Phillies 4.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. Air Care Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact Air Care Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547. Moving over to football, the Jets, they were sloppy in training camp on Saturday, and Aaron Rodgers let them have it. Rodgers could be seen arguing with Garrett Wilson on the sideline between practices. Rodgers then went on to throw an interception in his next offensive session. He also dropped a few snaps from his center and tripped and fell while dropping back to pass. So Z, looking at the circus in town, how important is it for the Jets to get off to a fast start?
He didn't hurt himself, though. Right? He tripped and fell.
Garrett Wilson, I would have been like, dude, you weren't here during the fucking OTAs. I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear shit from you.
No.
Walk over there and call the damn play in the huddle. Don't worry about what I'm doing.
We have confirmed that Aaron Rodgers has survived the fall, right? He put on his He had his life alert on, and he was able to, like, they were able to get the training staff over. I've fallen and I can't get up. But, okay. So, how important is it for the Jets to get off to a fast start? It is the difference between life and death for this organization.
Who they got in their first couple of games? Let me pull this up right now.
Let's pull up the schedule. Let's do a little,
let's project. The New York Jets.
The New York, New Jersey Jets, according to
49ers, L.
Loss.
And with their new logo, I hate it. That's a loss. Then they go to Tennessee. That's a win.
Should be.
Patriots is their opener on a Thursday. Am I reading this right? Home opener's on a Thursday. What the fuck? That's a win.
That should be a win.
Then they get the Broncos the following week. That should be a win. Then they get the Vikings in Minnesota. That should be a win.
Should be, but I'll give that, you know what? Like, on paper right now, I'll give Sam Darnold the benefit of the doubt, and he outduels Aaron Rodgers. So I'll say 3-2.
Oh, so you think Aaron's still playing at that point. Okay, cool. Then they got the Bills. They have the Bills at home on Monday night. That should be a win.
Should be.
I think it gets a little... Now, I think once they get into October, it's going to start to get tougher. Because then they got to face the Steelers in Pittsburgh on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Then they have the Patriots in New England. Then the Texans come to them on a Thursday, but they slap the Texans. All right, so they should be able to win these games. I don't really see anything here that's scary. It's not like that murderous schedule they had, I think, 2 years ago, where it was like, geez, you guys ain't going to win a game until November. No,
but it is important that they don't stumble out of the gate. If they gift the Titans a win, if somehow Gerard Mayo and either Jacoby Brissett or Drake May or whoever the hell's quarterback, if they're somehow, like, if they catch the Jets playing with their food and they're 1-2, that's when things are going to start. That's when the buzzards and the vultures are going to start to circle.
I know you're a Giant fan, but as just a fan looking of, you know, fan of New York sports, I mean, is it Super Bowl or bust this year, or is it like Super Bowl in the next 2 years?
He needs to deliver a Super Bowl. One. I don't care when. The dude needs to deliver a Super Bowl. Dan Orlovsky's on record saying that if he does not deliver a Super Bowl, it is going down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. I'm not on record yet to say, like, I'm with Dan Orlovsky on that, but I understand his sentiment. Like, this is the ultimate win now move. right? You felt that you were a quarterback away. You jettisoned Zach Wilson. You brought in Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, God, it's all they fucking talk about. Right. It's how they just need the fucking quarterback.
Right, which was not true. Which was not true. It was patently, not true.
I don't know if it was. I don't believe it. I don't think it was true. I don't know. We're going to find out.
So what is the record for you? What is the record where you're starting to panic and you figure that the vultures are going to start and the infighting is going to start and the bullshit's going to start? Is it 1-2 or is it further along into the season?
I think you'd have to be further along in the season, but I'm going to
only get 17 games,
even,
dude.
Even though I think they're a shit team, they're based on their schedule, I just don't see it being that bad. Unless they really fuck this up, I don't. Z, they should be able to be 6-1. No, am I not reading this right?
No, they should be.
They should be 6-1. There's not even. You have Aaron Rodgers. You have.
I gifted them a loss against the Vikings.
Had this. Yeah, I mean, I think they were saying something like Rodgers is 83-2 when he gets at least like 21 points from his offense, and the Jets hold teams under 21 points. I mean, that's what they do. They do play sound defense. I think it's going to get tougher as you get towards the end of the season when you're facing the Rams, when you're facing the Dolphins, and when you're facing like the Seahawks. But early on, I mean, you should be able. If you are 500 heading into November. That's a problem. Or if you're under 500 in October, there's a serious problem. I mean, I think we all take for granted how hard it is to not only get to a Super Bowl, but win a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's unfair for us to say that he's got to deliver in the first year he's fucking healthy and playing. I don't see it as that. I think he has to do his part. All he could do is throw the passes and stay healthy. Those are the only things he could do. He can't catch the ball because there are a lot of drops on Saturday, I heard, by Lazard and Wilson running the wrong route. You can't control that stuff, right?
But you know what? You can't control that, but here's something you can control. What you can do is not go on Pat McAfee and bash the team, not be passive aggressive in the media. Like, I get that's who he is. I get that's who he is. But you know what? Like, the pressure's on you, dude. Like, you're the quarterback. You get the lion's share of the credit. You're going to get the lion's share of the blame. Again, that's what the money is for. Apparently,
I actually don't think he cares. He doesn't care about that stuff. He doesn't care. That does not affect him. Like, you know, he's in this whole mindset of like he's just trying to prove people wrong. And I think the other thing, this whole Jordan Love contract, which we're going to get into the next segment, is another fuel for the fire. Because what they've pretty much said by paying Jordan Love is like, we got our guy, we were right, and we're good, we're gonna be fine. And if you're him, you're like, fuck, like I gotta deliver here. Like, I got to come through. And I would say for him, listen, the Jets haven't made the playoffs in like 14 years. So, right? So just get to the playoffs and we'll take it from there. Like, he's got a running back that's only 2 years removed from ACL surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a number one, but your number two is a number four on most teams. Like, I'm talking about Mike Williams. Don't get me twisted. That dude is not that great.
No.
He's always hurt. I've seen him drop tons of balls. He's not good. Tyler Conklin's okay. Their line is okay. So, you know, based on that, I think get to the playoffs. Just that should be the goal. You get them into the playoffs. How could they possibly be mad at you? And then next year, when maybe you're a little better, you're another year in this garbage system, and maybe then you can, you know, kind of puff your chest out. Because I just don't see them beating the Chiefs. I don't see them beating the Dolphins. I don't see them beating the Bills in meaningful games, in playoff games.
They can beat the Dolphins in the meaning. They can beat the Dolphins in the quote unquote meaningful games. The Dolphins have not established that they're anything special in the playoffs. The same thing with the Bills.
I just think the Dolphins have a lot of talent at skilled positions. That's and they're another year in that system. Like, that's all I'm trying to say. Like, I just think they have more talent on the offensive side of the ball than the Jets have talent on the defensive side of the ball. You can scheme all day, but there's only, if Sauce Gardner is not 100%, Tyreek Will Hill is going for over 200 on them. Like, that's just, these are facts, just because that's the way this defense is. This defense is built to have a lockdown corner. If you don't have a lockdown corner, well, it's going to be your fucking revolving door over there. So, but now let's talk about Jordan Love, who was holding out for a new contract before practicing in training camp. And ladies and gentlemen, he got it.
Like, yes, I said, he did.
The backers made Jordan Love the highest paid quarterback in NFL history with a $220 million deal. But now all eyes are on Dak Prescott, who will be an unrestricted free agent after this season. So, Z, the question I have for you is, will Dallas make Dak the highest paid quarterback in professional football at the age of 31?
The highest paid quarterback in the NFL has a career record of 9-9, and he has 4,765 yards to his name. That's what you need to know about the absurdity of contracts in the NFL. For a minute,
now you sound like an agent, right?
It's absolutely fucking absurd.
But that's how Dak Prescott's agent opens the conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
Jordan Love is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He is 9-9, and he has $220 million. Dak Prescott led the league in yards, touchdown passes. He's been with this team for X amount of years. We'll wait until you give us a call.
Right. Now, here's the thing. There is still opportunity for the Packers to regret that contract. It's 27 games. He's only been in 27 games. He's on record for 18 of them. Dak Prescott has a career record of 73-41, which is pretty good, right? That's pretty good. 67% completion percentage. That's pretty good. 29,000 yards, almost 30,000 yards. Pretty good. 74 picks. Not great. The problem is, he will be the highest paid quarterback for all of about 30 seconds. Because it'll just be somebody else. He'll get his turn. Just like Matthew Stafford got his turn. Just like Joe Flacco got his turn. Just like Matt Ryan got his turn. I believe Tua got his turn for about a minute and a half. And then they signed Jordan Love and they announced it the same day. Like an hour and a half apart. Tua got his money and then Jordan Love got his money. So Dallas doesn't have a choice. If they want to enter the draft, because the problem is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones has not drafted well. Jerry Jones has not brought in players and developed them, right? You brought in Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy has not been great. He's been okay at best. Where is your Emmitt Smith? Where is your Michael Irvin? Where is your Troy Aikman? Where are your anchors that carry a dynasty? They're not there. Right? CeeDee Lamb is fine. Even good. After him, who you got? Gallup is gone. You brought back Ezekiel Elliott. Tony Pollard's gone. He's in Tennessee. Is Zeke getting the primary load? Like, what's going on here?
I would assume so.
Yeah, no. I don't think that's going to work. I think there's too much tread on the Zeke tire.
Okay.
I think he's in his early 30s. He's got to be in his early 30s. But for the amount of volume he was getting, it's up there. So, they're over a barrel. Because if they let him go, they'll be behind the Giants. in the division. We're doing our order up this week. The Cowboys without Dak Prescott are in dead fucking last place.
And CeeDee Lamb still hasn't come because they haven't paid him, because they probably haven't paid him yet because they got to figure out what they're going to pay Dak. And from what I've heard, they have submitted contract proposals to both Dak and CD, and nothing's been answered yet.
It's the Henry Hill, fuck you, pay me. Mm. Like, that's what it is. But the problem is that the rest of the team is suffering because of it. He will get his time, right? He's going to get like a Kirk Cousins-esque contract from here or somewhere else. Like, that's how football works. Would it surprise you if somehow Dak Prescott ends up getting traded if they can't come up to something at the end of next year? I wouldn't be surprised at all if Dak got traded.
No, they can't. I believe this is his last year.
So then he's going to walk. So there you go.
You know, to be honest with you, if I was Dak, I don't even know if I would sign a contract from them. Because if I'm Dak, I actually think I want to hit free agency. I have a chance. Because listen, again, you have to know where you are as a player. Like, if they didn't win last year, what changes did they make this year that they're going to win this year?
They got worse.
They
got worse.
Their offensive line is shit, and they don't have a running back. And CeeDee Lamb is not showing up to camp because he wants to get money. Like, right. So if I'm Dak, it's like, okay, the window here in Dallas is closing. I'm not going to have a better year than I did last year, where I was the best quarterback I've ever been. So it's time to get paid. It's time for me to hit free agency, where a team like, I don't know, you know, people say, okay, well, the Seattle has signed Geno.
No.
You don't think they're going to fucking cut Geno to get Dak? Come on. The Jets have Aaron Rodgers. But if Aaron Rodgers decides to retire and you're not going to be in on the Dak situation, come on, man. The Titans, if Levitt shows this year that he can't play, you're not going to make Dak the highest played quarterback in the NFL? Come on. Like, this, the Colts, if Anthony Richardson gets hurt again this year and he's unable to finish the season or play, you're not going to say, well, we can make Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback. I mean, come on. The list goes on and on. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would be great for Dak. It's another place he could go because their quarterbacks, they're trying out. It's a tryout. We're trying out. We're still not sure.
Oh, there's a lot of questions.
If I was Dak, I want to go to free agency. I'm not signing. That's just bring it on.
Yeah, the grass isn't always greener. That's the issue there.
Oh, Z, it's going to be greener. That's exactly what the color it's going to be. Because that's all I'm looking at is the greenness of it.
Okay. So you're Scott Boras then. That's you. I don't give a shit where you're comfortable. Well, we're going because that's where the biggest paycheck is.
I'm not talking as if I'm his agent. Because if I'm his agent, that's not what I'm saying. If I'm his agent, I'm telling him, we're going to sign if we get more money than Jordan Love. That's what I want. I want a 7-year deal, and I'm taking him to my 38, and I want to be the highest paid quarterback, and that's if I'm his agent. But if I'm him, I am looking at how good I am, how good this team is, where we're at right now, and saying, I'm not winning a Super Bowl in Dallas, so I want to go get paid. I want to set myself up for life. Right. How do I do that?
Right.
Getting the fuck out of here. It's going to free agency.
But here's my thing.
And who knows? Even Dallas could still give me an offer when I hit. They will have an ample opportunity to re-sign me. I promise you. But I'm going to test the market.
Yeah. But what organizations truly need a quarterback?
Denver's another one.
Denver. Okay.
Denver.
Indy. They're not sure about Richardson. The Patriots, they're unsure about their quarterback room. The Steelers, they're unsure about their quarterback room.
Sure.
The Commies, they're unsure about their quarterback room.
NOLA got Derek
New Orleans. Carr, New Orleans.
That's not forever. Carolina, Again, we're going to find out this year
what if
this kid
gives. What if Baker shits the bed again? Tampa Bay, wouldn't you like to go to play with Mike Evans?
Wow, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So you got to be careful, though, because with these question marks, some of them may not break the way you want. And you may not be, and you may not end up with a lot of the teams that we're listing here. You may end up with offers from the Patriots. You might end up with an offer from the Titans. And then what are you going to do? Like, you may get the money you're looking for. You may be getting the years you're looking for. But am I going to leave the Cowboys, who are the second best team in my division? Am I going to go play for the Patriots right now? This ain't Bill Belichick. This is a bad situation. Yeah. Am I going to go play for, like, Derrick Henry's gone. I got DeAndre Hopkins, but am I going to go play in Tennessee? Like, I got the money. That's great. The one thing that the Cowboys have working in their favor is that there is no state income tax in Texas. So Texas and Florida, those are the only two states that can compete with each other. So Miami, Tua is locked up. Jacksonville, they believe in Trevor Lawrence. That leaves you with Tampa Bay. Am I in Tampa Bay if I'm Dak Prescott? I'm telling my agent, we're going to watch Baker Mayfield all year. We're going to see how he does. We'll kind of make it known that I'm there. But, you know, it really does. It boils down to it, you know? It really does.
I'm letting my agent know I'm there.
I'm there. Like, if they call, be willing to pick up that phone. You pick up that phone.
I'm there.
Pick it up.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Well, the U.S. basketball team, moving over to the Olympics, the U.S. basketball team drubbed Serbia 110-86 a few days ago. While it was a sound victory, controversy emerged because Jason Tatum logged a DNP while Kevin Durant came off the bench and went off. Kerr blamed himself and promised to get more minutes moving forward. Z, is this a big deal, a little deal, or no deal?
Well, let's see. Did they win? Yes. So good job for them. Did they necessarily need to play Jason Tatum? No. No, they did not. No, they absolutely did not. Where did the U.S. struggle against Serbia? At the center position. Embiid had 4. Bam had 4. Davis had 7. So there you go. They had 15 points from their bigs. So Jason Tatum was not impacting that unless they went small. Unless you're going super small. Now, LeBron and Durant had a combined 44 points between them. Good job. It's no deal, man. Like, this is a joke. It's an absolute fucking joke.
It's no deal,
It's
man.
No deal. Come on. Like, what is this, middle school? He didn't blame me. Shut up. It's ridiculous. You're a grown-ass man. You're an NBA champion. You're allegedly elite. So, act like it. Don't go crying and bitching and moaning. Steve Kerr, you can rotate guys how you see fit. It's your team, right? They're playing for their country. They're playing on the name of the front, not the name on the back. That's who they should be playing for. Mm-hmm. And if he's got a problem with it, maybe he's not the guy who should be on the Olympic team. But you only have so many minutes. You only have so many roster spots. You only have one ball. Figure it out. Like, this is a very, you know, the talent will eventually kind of shake out. You'll get your time. This is absolutely friggin' no deal. What is a big deal, however, is that the U.S. took it to Serbia. Serbia, who is not a bad team. Right? You got Boban, you got Jokic, you got players
Boban
on this
team. Bag? We'll be back.
Yeah.
Love that commercial.
So these guys, I mean, you got players on this team, right? You have some NBA talent. And for you to whoop that ass, that's a good sign. And you got out of it healthy. So
that's what I'm
excited for.
No, of course. And it's always about the team. Team always comes first. I guess the problem I have is this guy, he just won the NBA championship. There was a debate on whether he was or wasn't the best player on the team and whether or not he should have been considered for the finals MVP. And my man can't even get in garbage time. He can't get 5 minutes before the end of a quarter or a half. You go with an Anthony Edwards and you're going with, you know, White and Holiday. That's the only thing that's a little eye-opening to me. Now, it could be that, you know, you're trying to get him some rest because he did play all the way up until the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But then the guys on his team and the other guys that were in the finals are playing.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's not... the whole thing is if this isn't Little League, right? Not everybody plays.
No.
But if you're looking in that locker room and you're not game planning for him, putting plays in for him, I don't know, man. And especially when Kevin Durant comes off the bench and fucking lights it up.
17 minutes. 23 points in 17 minutes, mind you.
Now, could Tatum do... if you're Steve Kerr, can Tatum do that? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't really know.
Well, here's the thing. Who is he replacing in the rotation? LeBron? Kevin Durant? That's your... Because you're playing you're starting a three guard system, right?
That's the whole thing is like you're looking down the bench and you're not thinking about him. You're not looking at him.
No.
Anthony Edwards got burned.
He got 19 minutes. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
And to me, you're telling me I can't split with Anthony Edwards?
That's for me.
You can't do 10 and 10?
He's not the person in question. For me, it's the three centers who gave you guts.
I'm just trying to say, like, at some point, like at halftime, do you get to go up to coach and be like, hey, I see this and that. You know, if you put me in, I could do this and that. Not saying put me in, but just kind of saying what you're seeing. And like, was there any of that going on? Was there garbage time when they asked him to go in and he said, no, I'm good. Like, I'm too good for that. Is that possible?
That's the case, then maybe this isn't for you. That's bottom line.
I don't know.
But here's the thing.
I think it's a big deal because he just won the NBA finals. This guy, you're telling me like he can't get anything. Nothing. He can't. Nothing.
Maybe Jason Kidd was right. Maybe Jason Kidd was right.
Oh, I know Jason Kidd was right. No, I'm kidding. I do think he's very. I do think Tatum is very talented, and I think he has the potential to be next Kobe Bryant. But
here's the
Kobe
thing:
Kobe ain't logging a DMP. LeBron ain't logging a DMP.
Nope.
Carmelo Anthony ain't logging a DMP. Like. Not like later on in his career. I think in the beginning he did, but not at this point would he have. So that's the thing, Steve. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about that aspect. As constructed.
Those guys wouldn't, but this guy is. And what does that say?
Well, what this says is when you look at the starting, you look at the starting five and you look how they're running this. They're running a three-guard set. And then you're running LeBron as your four and Embiid as your five. That's who you started with. So you're already in trouble. as far as I'm concerned, if I'm Jason Tatum, I'm like, I'm in danger.
Danger.
Because you know what? The only logical forward I can replace is LeBron.
LeBron.
Now they can go bigger, right? They could go bigger. You can absolutely sub out Booker or Curry or Holiday, and you can put Tatum in. You absolutely could do that. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, if you want to go smaller and you don't use Bam, you don't use Embiid, you don't use Anthony Davis,
Bam,
you can get that, right? LeBron can grab boards. Absolutely he can. Are you going to jump Kevin Durant? Not when Kevin Durant is hot, you're not. So it's an embarrassment of riches. Like, and I think Jason Tatum, I'm sure he understands that. Like, all these guys, right? LeBron James, Hall of Famer. Kevin Durant, Hall of Famer. Like, Steph Curry, Hall of Famer. Like, you're not going to jump these guys. Now, the one guy that I'm looking at, besides the bigs, is Derek White. Got 16 minutes, two boards. You're telling me, like, that's the guy I'm looking at,
mm-hmm,
right? You're telling me I couldn't get burn over a guy who had only two shots. He had two shots in the game. You're telling me I couldn't get some of those minutes? Derek White was happy to take him. Like, I got this, coach. Yeah. But it's the ego of it all. He'll get his time. They're not going to play. LeBron's going to be 40. They're going to want to save. He's going to want to save himself, and the Lakers are going to want him to be saved a little bit for the season. Steph Curry getting long in the tooth. He's probably going to have to put some. He's going to have to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. Durant is getting old too. He's going to have to pump the brakes too. He played the fewest minutes of the three at 17 minutes off the bench. That's all you need to know. If Kevin Durant can come off the bench, like, Jason Tatum's got to be fine with his role on this team. Like, that's it and that's all. If Kevin fucking Durant can do it, you can do it. If Anthony Davis can do it, you can do it. Like, be a big boy. Put your big boy pants on. Your time will come. You'll get yours. So, that's it. You just have to be patient. And it'll be there. You need to meet the moment. Because the moment will be there. But you need to be ready as well.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team, shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, coming out of Mr. Black. Jazz Chisholm wearing a purple shirt, green belt, with a Yankee uniform in his debut.
Man, the Yankees have really fallen, huh? They get that advertisement on their pinstripe and just let guys do whatever the hell they want to do now, I guess. I think it's foul. And it's interesting how all these Yankee fans I was talking to about this are making excuses for the guy. Man, George wouldn't allow that, man. George would have not allowed that. So I'm going to say it's foul.
Now, to give it context, he did just come from the Marlins. The Marlins are technicolor as technicolor can be. So maybe they did not have a navy blue belt ready for him. Maybe he did not have the requisite shirts. So I'm willing to cut him some slack. In that regard, it's fair. If that's all he had, then by all means, it's fair. Everybody else plays by different rules, and then you have the Yankees. Now, that's a different discussion for another day, right? They had a guy, Phil Bickford, long-term major leaguer, long flowing locks, bushy goatee, claimed him off waivers, made him cut his hair, made him shave his goatee, DFA'd him after 5 innings. So
that's what I'm trying to say is, like, you are an organization that makes grown men who have had goatees their whole life, yes, shave them off. But you're going to let this guy wear a purple undershirt and a green belt on the first day?
Dude, if he produces, he can go to bat naked.
I don't believe that, though. That wasn't the Yankee way, though.
The Yankee way died with George Steinbrenner.
Why are we still playing the game where people can't wear facial hair, then?
Because it's part of the brand. It's branding.
It's either all or nothing, man. Like, just get rid of all of it, then. Stop with all the bullshit, then. If you're going to let this guy, who's a lifetime 246 hitter, who's coming up to play for you from the Marlins, walk in and look like that on his first day, then you know what? If I come in on the red eye and I didn't shave before the game, leave me the fuck alone.
Well, they relaxed on that too. They did relax on that a little bit. You had CeCe Sabathia have a little bit of growth.
Who was the player they were? Oh, they were giving Giancarlo shit 2 years ago about that because he had his facial hair growing in.
Now, is it the Yankee organization or is it the Yankee fans? That's the thing you need to kind of parse here, because I don't know necessarily if Hal Steinbrenner gives two shits about anything.
That's including the Yankees, though. He doesn't care about them.
I don't know if he gives two shits about anything except his bottom line.
Yeah, he just wants to not pay the luxury tax. Yeah, that's all he
this cares. Is.
He can wear whatever fucking color he wants, just as long as he's willing to accept the contract I offer.
Right. This is, you know, Danny the Yankee fan, season ticket holder, 27 championships, that guy. You know, like, the Yankees have a standard. Well, their standard hadn't done one dick since 2009. So there's something to be said for that. And you actively cost yourself David Price because he said, I refuse to shave my beard. So yes, while that is petty, and I understand that.
Well, because he's a grown fucking man.
Exactly. I
can tell me what I guess. This isn't Catholic high school. You don't get to dictate my facial hair.
Guess what? In Catholic high schools, you can now have fucking facial hair. Friggin' full on mustaches. Like, these kids look like grown ass men now. So if it's good enough for Cardinal Spellman, if it's good enough for Cardinal Hayes, if it's good enough for Fordham, friggin' maybe not good enough, maybe it might not be good enough for Fordham Prep. They still have some standards. But if it's good enough for Mount St. Michael, if it's good enough for Catholic high schools, then it's good enough for the New York Yankees. If you can grow your hair out, then it's good enough for the New York friggin' Yankees. So, at the end of the day, like, I understand what they're trying to do. I understand the image they're trying to uphold. I understand the brand that they're trying to hold on to. Some of their fan base really embrace it. Other parts of the fan base, they want it gone yesterday. And, you know, as we go on here, as we progress on, I think that's going to be more divisive than uniting. And eventually, it may come to the point where the Yankees acquiesce. But I don't know if this is the ownership group that allows it. Because you know as well as I, like, deep down, maybe not in the, you know, in the places where he talks about it at parties, but, you know, in the inner recesses of Hal Steinbrenner's soul, he would sell this fucking thing in a heartbeat if he can make $8 to $10 billion, wouldn't you? And then this, the headache is off, right? It feels like he never wanted it to be his baby. He kind of inherited it because Hank was just, he was Hank. And then Steve Swindle was supposed to run it, but then Steve Swindle was not great. So he just feels like the dutiful kind of caretaker. It doesn't feel like it's in his blood.
The dude.
He's just the guy. I'm just here to pay the bills. Like, come on. I mean, it's really, like, as far as the Jazz Chisholm thing, he's like the latest in the line of guys who need to conform and whether or not they should have to conform. But I'm going to say fair, because you know what? I believe that he didn't have anything. I believe he just came and that's what he had. So
the equipment's got to do better, Zeev. And the equipment department needs to check his ass before he walks up the door. Whoa, 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 wait. Where are you going with that, man? Where are you going with that?
We're caps and sleeves in this league, son.
we got a whole fucking bin over there with blues and grays. Get your blue and gray on.
What not to wear?
What are you talking about?
What not to wear? Major League Baseball edition.
Take labor shit. I second baseball.
He's a second baseman. Well, we'll see for who.
No, I can't believe he's got to get DFA'd. There's no, but actually, I will defend him in saying the last 30 days he has hit over 300.
He's hitting like he doesn't want to get traded. It's the same thing with Jeff McNeil.
Right, he's hitting over 300 the last 30 days.
There's something in the water about
my man knows how to turn it on when he's got to turn it on.
So why? So here's the thing: play like that all the time. If you play like that all the time, they don't want to get rid of you. I'm just throwing that out there, Glaber. Same thing with Jeff McNeil. Dude was in the toilet for most of the season. Then the last month, he's equatorially hot. Out of the All-Star break, dude is on fire. But when you look at the numbers, McNeil and Glaber were almost identical.
Really?
Almost identical. So there's something to be said about that. They're playing like they don't want to leave. So it's about fucking time. Fair or foul. Number two, the NFL's new onside kick rules.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe this? Like, talk about the no fun league. So for anybody who doesn't actually know what's going on. Hold on, let me pull this up here.
So this is an overreaction because the New Orleans Saints came out of the halftime of the Super Bowl and kicked an onside kick.
Yeah, that was like 20 years ago. It was like 12 years ago. So now, so onside kicks are illegal before the fourth quarter. A team must be losing to kick an onside kick. A team must declare intention to kick an onside kick to officials beforehand.
I declare.
All that on top with, you can't overload the side. You have to have equal number of players. So basically, when there's only less than 2 minutes left in the game and you're kicking it off to the other team, you're losing. That's basically what you're saying. The game's over. I can start that at home. Great. Perfect.
These are completely foul. I agree.
It's foul.
Completely
foul. Foul, 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 foul.
Completely, completely. I declare. Oh, good. That takes the element of surprise out. Like, what's the whole point of the onside kick? Is to catch people napping.
Somebody tried to make the argument that this isn't really a thing because surprise onside kicks haven't been used in, you know, for a long time. So it's like, then what are we putting in this legislation for?
Right.
Then what's the whole point of it then? Then leave it alone. If people don't do it anymore, then take it out. I think, you know, the one I hate, the biggest one I have a problem with in this whole thing is that I can't do this. I can only do this if I'm losing.
Yes.
That's the part that bothers me. Like, if you want it to that it can only be done in the fourth quarter, okay. All right, fine. But I can only do it if I'm losing. What if I can't keep a lead? What if I don't want to give them back the ball? You're basically saying I have to give them back the ball.
Right. But that's the thing, right? Look at the overtime rule, right? The parody of the overtime rule. It was because Josh Allen didn't touch the ball. Now we have to make sure that both teams get a chance to possess. This is bullshit. This rule is complete bullshit.
Poor shit.
Absolute cow pie. So, I declare. Oh, good, you declare. That's wonderful.
I declare.
So,
I have to say, I declare that I'm going to throw an out and up.
So, when have you ever seen a team that...
I declare I'm going to blitz.
1-1000, 2-1000, go!
I'm coming!
Oh, shit. When have we ever seen a team that's ahead onside kick the ball?
I've seen it a few times, but not enough for you to say they can't do it ever.
Correct. I can't name one off the top of my friggin' head. Like, that's how rare it is. And it's bad enough that onside kick recovery is as low as it is.
It's so low anyway.
So like, what are we doing?
What's the whole purpose of this?
It makes absolutely no sense. Like, you've legislated it out of the game. Congratulations.
You're pretty much telling me that the game is over at the 2 minute warning.
Right. Now, if you do happen to declare and you do, you know, you have a kicker who can actually complete the watermelon kick, that seems to be the only the watermelon style kick is the only one that seems to work, where they rotate it on its side. That seems to be the only way it's working lately. Because everybody's hands team is very good. Everybody put their best receivers out there. That's why it's called their hands team. You've pretty much made it impossible to complete an onside kick. So basically, you have rendered fourth quarter comebacks. You've rendered dramaless results. Because it's exactly what's going to happen. The hands team's going to recover. Take a knee. That's the game. So what's the point? What is the absolute point of this? It just makes no sense. This is like the kickoffs. But, you know, you made all these changes. You tweaked it. Now every kickoff goes through the uprights.
Now I used to like onside kicks because I always felt like
there was a chance. They had a shot.
It's a chance. That's all I want to see is that there's a chance. Like, you know, that's all I want. Yeah. A chance. And that made it fun.
Absolutely. And
you destroyed it.
It's gone.
You're shitting on it.
It's gone. So
a Rob Manfred move.
they've made the results inevitable. And I wonder if gambling has to do with that. You want the sure thing. I'm wondering if all these rule changes at least a little wink and a nod to gambling. We don't want the spread to change. We don't want an upset. Like, if the Chiefs are playing the Titans, we want to make sure that the Chiefs have the best possible chance to win. So I wonder if there's something to that. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, what would you say about something like that?
Yeah, I think it's possible that you want to make sure, because, you know, the onside kick, you know, it could change the odds. Because, yeah, you know, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if especially when you're talking about spread.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this team could, like, somebody could bet heavy right before the onside kick. And then all of a sudden they get the ball back. And now they have a chance to throw a Hail Mary and win. Eesh.
Yeah, definitely. And you have players out there.
Something, my friend.
Maybe. Who knows? We got plenty of players out there who don't give a shit about the gambling fans' parlays.
For
sure. So put it that way, because they're trying to get theirs. I know it's baseball, but Brent Rooker, like, he actually was DM'd from a fan who said that he fucked up his parlay.
Love it.
And then he responded like, "I don't give a shit. Leave me alone. Why are you messaging me?" It's like,
"I'll fight you, motherfucker.
I'll fight you right now. You're saying I'm a bitch.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
So don't ever change.
Get the dog out, damn it.
You're saying what he said, I'm a bitch.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
Jesus Christ. But I don't know. We'll see what happens, but this rule is total horseshit, completely foul. And hopefully it doesn't make it out of training camp. Hopefully it gets rescinded very soon.
I think it's here to stay.
Fuck.
I can't imagine them changing that, dude. That's not.
If anything, it might be one and done, like the pass interference penalties. Like that might be the case.
I don't know, man. It's because there's not even any call for it. I don't see how it gets. What's going to happen to make them call, put it back in?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
One of the precious darlings is going to lose. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to get denied a Super Bowl because they weren't allowed. They didn't declare, or they were winning and they were victimized by an onside kick because they declared, "I do declare." Fucking Triple.
We're all busy these days and wear a lot of hats, myself included. I'm a teacher, a podcast host, and a chef instructor. But there's one thing we all have in common. We all have to get dinner on the table. And if you need a little inspiration in the kitchen, check out As You Eat It, only on YouTube, hosted by me, Chef Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's AZ. You Eat It, only on YouTube. Check it out and let's get cooking. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Enzo Fernandez. Enzo Fernandez. Yes. Enzo Fernandez and Argentina. There's no room for racism ever, 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 ever. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got Jason Tatum, future of the league, 2024 NBA champion, logged a DNP against Serbia in the Olympics, while Kevin Durant came off the bench and put on a show for the world. That's supposed to be your spot, Jason. You're supposed to be the future. Jason Tatum, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Rashad Penny.
Mm.
Former first-round pick retiring from the NFL. He was an All-American in 2017. He was MWC Offensive Player of the Year in 2017. Oh, man. NFL career, 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, one receiving touchdown. Yikes. Rashad Penny, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, your boy Anthony Rendon returns to the IL with a lower back inflammation just in time to not get traded. His 227 batting average and 13 runs and 6 RBI in 33 games is something he does not think about ever. What do you got to see?
So you're saying I'm a bitch? No, I'm saying you're a thief. Dude, how much money have you stolen from Artie Moreno? And he's on record saying he wants the season shortened. Fuck you! Are you kidding me? Yeah, let's wrap this up here.
Artie Moreno just spit out his coffee listening to this podcast.
Are you fucking kidding me? Artie, I don't know. You might have a lawsuit on your hands, buddy. I don't know.
We play too many games. This is embarking on my personal time.
I'm a family man. I could be spending more time with my family.
I'm going to kill you.
Dude, aren't they sick of you already? They've seen you how many years in a row now? Like, come on.
He must play that press conference when he signed with the Angels. He must play that before he goes to bed every night.
Shh.
I want to win here. We're going to be great. Can't wait to play with Mike Trout.
Well, you mentioned Mike Trout. I'm glad you invoked him. He shut down his rehab. That's a fucking nightmare.
There goes my whole thing. I thought he was going to be a Philly.
He could still be a Philly. Give him time. Give him time. You're just going to get less for him.
It was this year that I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, well, maybe next year. Maybe next year. But I'm going to start with the Canadian women's soccer team. So, your coach, two assistants, banned for a year.
All that.
Because you decided to pull a Bill Belichick and fly a drone over another team's practice. I don't get it. What did you get? Some set piece information? You got some positioning? These are things you could have easily found by watching the team play a game. This is not state secrets. You're not learning hand signals. You're not learning plays. Like, there's absolutely no reason for you to do this. So, congratulations, Canadian women's soccer team.
They're good.
They are.
They're
good. They are.
And we were spying on a team that was not as good as them. I don't... What are we doing?
What are we doing?
And then, what are we doing?
Well, here's the thing. U.S. men's captain Tyler Adams said, they're not the only ones doing it. Dude, shut up. Dude, this is not your fight. Why are you getting involved? Stop talking. Stop the Zeed right now. Stop the Zeed. So Canadian women's soccer team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Juan Carlos Osorio, Tijuana manager. Leagues Cup, first round qualifying against LAFC. One of your players gets injured. You're getting into it with the sideline official. The main official comes over and you accidentally headbutt the main official. That's an automatic red card. Good job, Juan Carlos. So I'm sure he's not happy. He's gonna be seeing the next Tijuana match from the stands. Juan Carlos Osorio, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And the third one, Garrett Crochet. How does one torpedo their trade value in such spectacular and short time? I want a contract extension and I'm not moving to the bullpen. Congratulations, Garrett. Have fun in Chicago for the rest of the summer. And a very, very long, very long winter. Garrett Crochet, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And a bonus one. Honorable mention goes to the Boston Red Sox. Oof. The Rockies put it on you. They put 20 on you. Not to mention, there was a fight, too. So, Cal Quantrill's on the mound. Reese McGuire pops up. He's talking, shit is being exchanged. And then Cal Quantrill brings up the fact that Reese McGuire got arrested for public masturbation. He's like, you got caught jacking in a fucking parking lot, you dumb fuck. I believe it was the... And then bench is clear. And then to make matters worse...
America.
Got caught, you dumb fuck. You dumb fuck. And then, to make matters worse, the Red Sox traded for a new catcher and they cut Reese McGuire. So, I think it was Thursday or Friday. Like, first they get it, you know, they get into a fight. Rockies hang 20 on the Red Sox, and then they acquire Danny Jansen from the Blue Jays and DFA Reese McGuire. So there you go. So they get into a fight for you. Will you fight for me? Will you fight for me? Yes, I'll fight for you. You're my teammate. Well, apparently I'm gone. So honorable mention goes to the Boston Red Sox. That was quite the sticky situation. You are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominee.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.